Chris Moore.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
905 on the Fan in New York City. Chris Moore with you, my favorite witch. Erica Herskowitz making her way out. Somebody left a broom in here, so. One of those ones you bring to a game because you're a noxious fan and you're sweeping somebody. So it's in here. Matt Casey and Pete Hoffman on the other side of the glass. Mickelson is up three with two holes to play out in California, and it got too dark. So they will go at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning local time. That means 11 o'clock here. And Mickelson, who will be 49 in June, will win, I believe, his 50th tournament on the PGA Tour. He's three shots up with two shots to play over Paul Casey. And they have two holes to play. So you expect he will win. Two holes to play is, you know, that three shots is a lot with just two holes. So that's news. And they had delay there for weather, et cetera. But his birthday is June 16th. That is when he will turn 49. And he has, let's look at his wins, 43 on the PGA Tour, 10 on the European Tour. So pretty amazing that Mickelson would survive this and end up winning it, but that will happen tomorrow for him. We told you we'd talk some baseball to start this hour. We will do just that. Nice enough to join us on this Sunday night, Anthony DiComo, MLB.com, covers the Mets for them, and a lot of anticipation off a busy, if not overly newsworthy offseason. They certainly cleaned up a lot, both in the front office and how they go about doing their business, and obviously with players like Cano and Rodriguez and Ramos and all the changes that they did make. So, Anthony, kind of a busy time and a lot of anticipation going into this Mets season.
Yeah, and I think every year, you know, it comes to spring training, and no matter how the team looks, people have optimism this time of year. It's the great thing about spring training. All 30 teams, even the ones that really don't have a shot, have optimism this time of year. But the Mets have reason to, you know, be more curious than usual. Mets fans have reason to be more optimistic than usual this year. It is a much different roster than we last saw in September. It is a much different front office. Is it going to work? I don't know, and I'm sure you'll ask me some version of that question. We'll find out over the course of the next 8 months or so. But it is different. They're not going with the old same old status quo. So I'm interested to see how it all turns out.
I am too, and I think the plus side for Met fans and why the optimism may be a little bit more legitimate is, you know, there weren't many of us that were buying Gonzalez and Reyes. And, I mean, there was real dead weight on this team that was clearly dead weight. Players that nobody else wanted that ended up here. And this year, there are fewer of those. Now, we don't know with McNeil and Alonso and Conforto and Nimmo and Rosario just exactly what they have. That their resumes aren't long enough as major league players to really give us a sense of who they are as players and how predictable they will be. But at least they're fresh. At least there's a sense that they are on their way up, not on their way down. And for that, I think Met fans are thankful, don't you?
Yeah, look, it's a veteran team, but there is quite a bit of youth on the roster, at least youth that you can get excited about. Guys in their primes like Michael Conforto and Brandon Nimmo, you know, up-and-coming shortstop like Ahmed Rosario, who I think a lot of people are pegging for a career year. And then, you know, obviously the pitching is what it is. But it's funny, you mentioned some of those older veterans that the Mets would sign to fill out their roster, whether it's Adrian Gonzalez or Jose Reyes or whoever you want to name. That's kind of the one thing you could point to, and I would say Brody Van Wagenen did an excellent job of this offseason, is you look at the bench of the Mets, and we don't know how exactly it's going to shake out, but you look at the mix of players that it potentially could be, and there really aren't any of those guys who are there.
Right.
If someone goes down due to injury, if you lose Jed Lowrie or you lose Rosario or you lose whoever you want to pick, especially in the infield, you're going to replace him with a guy who probably belongs in the big leagues. And that's not something the Mets could always say in the past. I don't think they did a great job of fleshing out their bench in the past, of kind of building their roster so that they would be okay if plan A went wrong or even if plan B went wrong. And I think they've done a better job of that this offseason. So the ultimate ceiling of this Mets team, I think you can maybe complain about. You can say that, you know, they should have gone bigger. They should have signed Bryce Harper. They should have signed any number of other guys. But the floor, I think, is a lot higher than it was in years past. It's hard to envision a scenario in which the Mets, you know, lose 90-plus games this year, whereas in the past, that's kind of been the norm.
Yeah, I think that's well put and well said. And I think that that is important because, you know, I host a sports talk show, and I never believe. I mean, you have Jose Reyes on your roster. Don't sell me. You know, don't. It's time to close the door. So I'm not going to believe the rest. Is my point. You know, and when they were that way with Gonzalez and Reyes in particular, and then still having, you know, fringe parts like Flores and Bruce struggling and Frazier near the end of his career, and we knew he wasn't going to bring too much.
Jose Bautista got a lot of that.
Exactly. You have so many, and now, Anthony, to me, Major League Baseball is much more, because of the way pitching is used, a 25-man roster. You want to be proud of your 25 as more than maybe you ever have been in Major League history because of the way the game is played now. And the Mets couldn't say that. You know, they were struggling to be proud of 20, much less being proud of 25. So at least they've gotten closer, as you say, and I think you put it well. Their floor is much higher now than it was when they had those guys running around. So to me, that's the good news.
And I think, if you don't mind me interrupting you, I think a great example of that is Jeff McNeil. And there's a lot of people screaming, you know, after the Jed Lowrie signing, where are they going to play Jeff McNeil? And I think that's kind of a testament to what they've done, is that he will play, but this is a guy who, you know, is at worst is a real big league quality bench player. And at best, you know, maybe he continues developing into a star and plays 5-6 days a week or even more than that. But all of a sudden you're not saying, okay, we're going to have Jeff McNeil as our starting second baseman and hope that works out. No, now it's, you know, where are we going to find that bat for this player, because we have so many other good options around him. And I realize people like the player, but it's a good problem to have when you're trying to find playing time for a guy of that caliber.
And it's good for a Met fan to have a player not playing that you want to see.
Exactly.
That's a rare treat. I mean, because before, when Reyes wasn't in the lineup, you're like, well, you know, it's not like they miss him very much. We don't need him out there. We don't need Gonzalez out there. You know, Frazier's sitting tonight. Oh, that's too bad. You know, people didn't feel that way. So you're right. It does change. If you're Mickey Callaway and you're building your pyramid of concerns going to spring training, where is your biggest area of question? What questions do you want to answer as early as you can in spring training?
I would say two stick out to me, and they're both kind of depth issues. One is starting pitching depth, and, you know, if you're the Mets, you hope this doesn't come to play until well into the season, if at all. But as good as the top end of the rotation is with DeGrom, Syndergaard, Wheeler, Matz, once you get into that 5, 6, 7, 8 range, it drops off precipitously, and the Mets are kind of relying on a lot of unknown quantities, on names that are probably unfamiliar to a lot of Mets fans. You know, Kyle Doughty, who's a Rule 5 pick, Hector Santiago, who's a guy, a kind of a scrap heap guy that picked up a free agency, and a couple more like that. It just drops off pretty quickly. So, you know, the Mets, by and large, did a good job last year of staying healthy in the rotation, and it wound up being a non-story. That's kind of the story of the previous offseason. It wound up being a non-story because, with the exception of Noah Syndergaard, they were pretty healthy in the rotation, healthier than they've been in a long time. If that's not the case this year, and certainly you can make the argument that all 30 teams have to worry about that because it's tough to keep pitching healthy, I think they have some issues there. So they need to identify who's going to be that starting pitching depth in spring training and really cultivate them to get ready. The other one is the outfield. I think, you know, after Conforto and Nimmo, you don't know when you're getting Yoenis Cespedes back. So who's the other starter there? Is it Jeff McNeil? Does he play well enough defensively in the outfield that you can pencil him in? Is it Juan Lagares, who, you know, I feel like we have this conversation every single spring with Juan Lagares. Can he stay healthy enough to contribute? And then Keon Broxton is kind of the other guy out there. Almost a Juan Lagares clone in that he's right-handed and very, very good at defense as well, but maybe a little more offensive upside with some of the power that he brings. Can he be enough of a consistent threat to earn everyday time, perhaps even to be the starter? So the Mets kind of need to identify that. I'd say that's the one uncertain piece of their starting eight, of their starting lineup. And then, obviously, as I mentioned, the starting pitching depth, I think, is going to be a concern all summer long.
In a perfect world, where would McNeil play? If Mickey Callaway said he's good at all, he's eight. Well, no, let's not make him a catcher. But other than that, what would be Mickey Callaway's preference, assuming that McNeil showed he was competent everywhere?
Well, I think the Mets' best offensive lineup is with McNeil in there every day, as opposed to Juan Magarez or Keon Broxton. So if McNeil proves adept at the outfield, I think that's what they're hoping, is that you can run him out there every day, either in center field or maybe in right field. You move Nimmo to center, and then you get that bat in there every single day. That would be great for the Mets. I don't know how he's going to take to it. He has some experience out there in the outfield. Jeff McNeil does. He played it a bit in college. He played it a bit in the minor leagues, but certainly not enough that you can go into camp and say, oh, he's going to be fine out there. I don't know if he's going to be fine out there. And if he is, that's great. You can put him in the lineup. If he's not, you might have to shy more towards having him be that bat off the bench and a guy who starts, you know, at least at the beginning of the season, a guy who starts 2 or 3 times a week. You know, he fills in at second base. He fills in at third base. Maybe he gets a stray couple of innings in the outfield. But if he can't prove adept defensively in the outfield, it's going to be much more of a struggle for him to get playing time. So I think the Mets are very hopeful that he'll go out there in spring training, get the reps in the outfield, and be just fine.
What do you believe their timetable is with Peter Alonso, and what do you believe will be their April look at first base?
Yeah, so this is another really interesting question in spring training, and probably something that we're not going to know until about a day or two before the season actually starts. Logic would tell you, and you know, I think there's a lot of outcry about this rule, but it's the rule that's in place. If Peter Alonso stays down until about April 15th, April 16th, the Mets get a whole extra year of team control. So that's right. What most teams do with their top prospects. You saw the Braves do it last year with Ronald Acuna. The Cubs famously did it with Peter Alonso, and there was outcry about
that
at the time.
Yeah, with Bryant, yeah.
With Chris Bryant, excuse me, yeah. And it's what you would assume the Mets will do with Peter Alonso. But Brody Van Wagenen said, no, if he deserves the job, we're going to give it to him. And he's doubled down on that, and he's tripled down on that, to the point where it'll be hard for him to back off now. If Peter Alonso goes and has a good spring, you know, bats close to 300, hits 4 or 5 home runs over the course of you know, 4 weeks of great Fruit League play, it would be very tough for Brody Van Wagenen to back off that, given his public comments. So you kind of have to assume that that's going to be the case, that if Peter Alonso plays well enough to earn that role and to say, I'm clearly the best option here at first base, then he's going to get it. And if not, then the Mets are going to have to figure something else out. And it'll probably be Todd Frazier, who doesn't really have anywhere else to play, but maybe Dominic Smith surprises some people, has a good camp, and he earns some reps over there. Maybe it's some sort of platoon with Smith and with Frazier. You know, the Mets are going to have to find at least some reps for Todd Frazier. He's kind of the odd man out at third base now, because it looks like Jed Lowry's going to be playing there most days. So I could certainly see a situation in which Frazier plays, starts there most days for a couple of weeks, and then, you know, Alonso comes up in mid-April, and you know, from the Mets' perspective, you hope he takes that job and runs with it. But Peter Alonso is going to be the guy who every eyeball is on this camp. It's just a very interesting story in terms of how he's going to perform and if the Mets are going to let him have that position, because they didn't do it down the stretch last year.
How legitimate are the concerns, Anthony, about his defense?
I think they're legitimate in that he's certainly not, you know, even close to big league average defensively at first base right now. And maybe I'm naive, but this kid is such a hard worker, and you hear that from everyone who's ever been around him, from college through the pros, minor leagues, up until the present day, that I feel like I get the sense that he's going to figure it out. He's already made some strides. You know, I think most scouts will tell you he's better now than he was a year ago at this time. I think he'll continue improving. Look, he's never going to be a Gold Glover over there. He's probably never even going to really be all that, you know, above average. He might not ever be average. But if he can get to a point where he's just not a complete butcher at first base, and if his bat is what everyone expects it to be and what it's been throughout the minor leagues, then you can deal with that. You just don't want him to be such a defensive liability that he's really hurting you by putting him out there. And I think he's a hard enough worker and cares about this enough that that won't be the case.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that there is good anticipation, and you and I agree that a lot of dead weight has been taken out, and now can this younger group, particularly the Rosarios and McNeils and some of the guys that aren't proven yet, Alonso eventually, can they pick up the slack and give the Met fans optimism? We'll all be watching for that. Good conversation, Anthony. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. You've got about 2 hours and 30 minutes in it.
Yeah. Well, at least I'm heading down to the warm weather tomorrow.
So, oh, there you go. Well, we...
Yeah, it should be. Should be all right.
We are definitely envious. Thanks, Anthony. We'll talk again soon.
You got it. Anytime.
There you go. Anthony DeComo, MLB.com. On the Mets, 920 on the dot. Who's a better announcer than I am? It's a long list. We don't really have time for that right now. But in terms of getting there right on time, I did it. And I'm very proud. And if my arms were longer, I'd be patting myself on the back as we speak.